Here we are in the wake of a triple murder in this city only a couple of days ago. And for those of you just not perhaps paying attention or hadn't heard it earlier in the day, the suspect in that particular case has been now shot dead by police. He confronted them this morning at Motel Pierre and at Saint Laurent. So it brings up the issue of gun violence again. And yes, we're now beginning to find out details because everyone said, as you said at the time, Natasha, when we talked about it, where to get a gun.
Yeah.
So there's a mental health issue now involved. And that is, of course, a problem into itself or unto itself. But then today, Public Security Minister Marco Mendocino is in town announcing a program. And this is something that has been asked for, right? Beyond how you're getting guns off the street, it's what can we do to help our kids who don't have an outlet and prevent them from getting involved in gangs, which oftentimes sadly leads to them getting guns and leads to these sorts of things. And the minister had an announcement today to make with respect to a fund. And Mr. Minister Mendocino is on the line with us now. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thank you again for having me.
It's our pleasure. So let's highlight this if we can. It's a roughly $40, $42 million program designed to do what?
Designed to stop gun crime from occurring in the first instance. And the vision of the program is for the federal government to provide support to the local community with cooperation, obviously, at the provincial level. And I was very pleased to have concluded negotiations with the Minister Guibault and her team, which allowed us to transfer these funds. And at this morning's announcement, which I joined along with Minister Rodriguez and MP Yakuno, was, again, as you said, roughly a little more than a $40 million announcement. Now, again, the way in which this will work is to tap into the local experience and wisdom with community leaders who know best what solutions to put in place, because they know the young people who are at risk, they know the dynamics, they know the skills that are necessary to develop, the confidence to cultivate, so that when those communities that are at risk are exposed to criminal elements and indeed gun violence, that they are best positioned to make the right choices. And then that's really just one of the main pillars of our comprehensive strategy, a prevention strategy to address the root causes, to reduce those barriers around access to supports, including mental health supports, so that we can build resilient communities. And the last thing I'll just say is, one of the big reflections I've been having, and I think we all need to have, is that, yes, it's important to highlight these policy initiatives. It's important to highlight Bill C-21, which we'll come back to, I hope, in this interview. But we can't ever forget the human impact. It's too easy to gloss over. As you pointed out, three more lives taken last night in Montreal. It happens in my hometown in Toronto. It happens right across the country. And we can never forget the devastating consequences, because that has to be our motivation. The status quo won't do. So we're going to keep pushing forward.
Minister, we heard from our listeners earlier who kind of highlighted that maybe this is just throwing money at a problem without really addressing the core problem. Do we really need the money for youth programs, or do we need to rebuild the mental health programs that have been decimated by cuts?
We do, and the two are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they're directly correlated. The Building Safer Communities Fund is meant to create a partnership and a relationship with the grassroots, with the people that live within the communities, who understand where the obstructions are to getting access to critical supports, including mental health, including other health supports, including the programs and services that are there and that are designed to build up the resilience within the community by developing those skills, so that when young people who are at risk and exposed to criminal elements, and we heard about that from Equipe Rivière des Prairies, one of the great organizations in Minister Rodriguez's riding, who's been doing this for 25 years. And, you know, they talked about how they're doing good, but they need more capacity. And this program is exactly designed to give them that support so that they can enhance their capacity. And that's one of the ways in which we can provide the kind of essential services and supports so that we can stop these crimes from occurring in the first place. So it's important to see the relationship between the support that we're providing, which is not just about doling out checks. It's about creating those supports and empowering communities to put in place the solutions that they know best will work.
All right. So people will listen to you saying this and then say, yes, of course, this is a good idea. We have to get community groups that money. But then the big question, this comes up every time we talk about it, when listeners bring it up, How do we get these guns off the street to begin with? You mentioned Bill C-21. We've heard talk about it. It's still not passed. We kind of wonder at what point, what will it take to finally address the reality of the problem, which is there are guns on the street that shouldn't be there. How do we get them off the street?
Well, it's going to take all of us rowing in the same direction. And, you know, it means all those oars have to include a legislative agenda like C-21, which will put in place a national freeze on handguns, a type of gun that is growing on average 45 to 55,000 new registrations a year. And think about that for a moment. Over the last decade or so, if that's the rate, think about how quickly that universe is expanding. And I would argue it's no coincidence that while that universe has expanded, we've seen handguns become the number one type of gun used in homicides across the country. That bill will introduce red flag and yellow flag laws, which in shorthand means that people can go to a court, can go to a judge and ask them to either suspend the license or take away a gun if the people, if the person that owns it poses a threat to themselves or someone else. And in particular, that protocol is meant to reverse the alarming trend in the connection between domestic violence and the presence of guns. Between 2013 and 2019, over 30% increase in that specific category of violent crime. And then third and finally, Bill C-21 is going to allow police to have more tools to take on organized crime. So if you're in the business of trafficking guns across an international border, you face a stiffer sentence in jail.
Well, let's talk about that, though, for a second. Let's talk about that. Those guns are getting here. They're not, for the most part, you know, being made here. They're coming in across a border. Why do we not have tougher policies already in place for people who try to do it and then people who are convicted of doing it?
Well, I would say that we're absolutely zeroed in on the problem at the border. And to the credit of the CBSA, in 2021, we seized and made a record number of seizures related to illegal firearms. I've been going across the country, meeting directly with frontline officers to see the people, the technology, and the techniques that are being used to make that progress. But it has to be said that there needs to be more done. So when I say we're zeroed in on the border to stop illegal trafficking, what I mean is continuing to invest in law enforcement, continuing to work closely with the United States. I recently met with Secretary Mayorkas. We stay in touch. I spoke with him earlier this week. And we talked about reinvigorating the Cross-Border Crime Forum, which allows law enforcement on both sides of the border to share information, share technology, so that we can, again, interdict the flow of those illegal guns at the border. It's a massive challenge. That needs to be said. But the last thing I'll say is that this strategy has to be seen in the context of a comprehensive strategy, which, again, requires all oars. You've got one that will advance smart, common-sense legislation like C-21. You've got one that will invest in our borders. And then third and finally, the announcement that we made today to prevent gun crime from occurring in the first instance. And it's only with that comprehensive strategy, with those three pillars, that we can eradicate gun violence.
What do you think is going on? Why do you think we're seeing a spike in gun violence specifically in Quebec? Because I'll tell you, people are scared. We're hearing from our listeners that they're scared for their kids, they're scared for themselves, and there's been definitely a spike in youth possession of illegal firearms. What's going on?
Well, Sasha, I'm really grateful for that question. Before I got into politics, I worked as a federal prosecutor on the front lines of the criminal justice system, and it is a tragic phenomenon that gun crime spikes almost like clockwork every summer. And part of it is, I think, people get out, the temperature gets up, and, you know, violence can spill over into the streets and often does. And I think that the other part of your question that really struck me is that when you talk about people being concerned, this is what I was alluding to at the top. We can't forget about the impact. The number of conversations that I've had in my role as public safety minister with people who have either lost a loved one or who have been directly injured and impacted by gun violence are just the most profound moments, because those conversations are raw. They're honest. And, you know, they're pleading not only with government, but with everyone to do better. And that's why, you know, it's easy sometimes to describe violence and attribute it to just guns. But there is also the violence that is caused by inaction and the violence that is caused by indifference. And that's why we can't just tolerate the status quo. You got to keep pushing. And this week alone, like, we we announced this $250 million Building Safer Communities Fund, which is a preventative strategy that creates relationships with grassroots community leaders, like the one this morning. And with the $40 million announcement today for Quebec, that represents almost 20% of the total allocation of that fund for Quebec, a significant portion of which will be rolled out in Montreal. We want to do good with it, and we want to assure people that they can be safe so that we can be resilient and that people can achieve their full potential, especially those young people who are at risk.
Minister, we're just about out of time. I did want to ask you one thing, because we were asked this today, and perhaps this is a bit unfair. You mentioned you were talking with your provincial colleagues today, and people asked, well, what sort of guarantee do we have that the money you're providing, that the federal government is providing, will in fact be used for what you've described?
Well, that's precisely what we sat down and hammered out with the province of Quebec. And, I've had very good and productive conversations, not only with La Ministre Guilbeault, but also with Mayor Plante. You may recall that there was a forum to deal with gun violence in Montreal, and I was grateful to accept an invitation from Mayor Plante to speak at that forum and to engage with young people who'd lost friends, who again been just devastated by gun violence. And so we talked about how these funds need to be prioritized, and they need to go to those communities that need it the most. And I know that in our conversations and our negotiations with Quebec, that there is a common goal there. And so we'll now, I think, see to the next phases of this, which means, again, intentionally sitting down with the community organizations who are best positioned to leverage these funds, to develop skills, to create safe spaces, to immunize young people who are at risk. And that's work that we will be there to support going forward. It's too important an issue to be complacent on, and especially with three more tragic losses of life last night. We've got to keep pushing, and we're going to do that.
All right. Honorable Marco Mendocino, Minister of Public Safety here in Canada, thanks so much for your time this afternoon. It's appreciated.
Thank you.